Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
Fornication, that is, sexual intercourse between persons not married to each other, is strictly forbidden by the scriptures. St. Paul sternly warned the Corinthians, "Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality will inherit the kingdom of God." Thus wrote David Ramirez in his article, "Do Not Be Deceived," in the January issue of the Lutheran Witness, Chaste and Decent Life. To read the entire issue on how to live a chaste and decent life, pick up your copy of the Lutheran Witness today, cph.org/witness, the Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Have more opportunities for get-togethers around the table, coffee hours at churches. Focus more on the personal and less on, you know, letting tech oligarchs decide who we can speak to, what we can say, and on what terms our relationships will be conducted.
Every day you've been given, you've got 1,440 minutes. Will you invest just 1% of that day in reading the Bible and in prayer? So 14 minutes.
And the reason why we are so earnest to contend for the doctrine, for the truth of the Lord's word, is not because we have some obsession with being right, but because Jesus delivers forgiveness of sins and eternal life in the true word.
When the law is fulfilled, our ability to see the face of God is made manifest because we are cleansed from sin, now fit to be inhabited by the Holy Spirit of God, who reveals the face of God in Jesus Christ.
From the Allen family in Jefferson City, Missouri, creed-confessing 3-year-olds love Issues Etc.
This is what the Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians in his first letter, the 6th chapter. "Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Now, is he saying there that Christians who once carried around these sinful desires and actions that he lists there, once they become Christians, no longer have those sinful desires? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this January the 15th, Friday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about speaking the truth in love to the LGBT community, even our neighbors, maybe even family members. Pastor Tom Eckstein will be our guest. We'll discuss the Confession of Peter that the church observes on January the 18th with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller a little bit later. We'll go through some pro and anti-family federal legislation for 2021 with Joe Grabowski of the International Organization for the Family. And then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got our 4 soundbites ready to go. We'll play them for you in the last half hour of the program. You can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Or wait and give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email with your vote, talkback@issuesetc.org, or via Twitter @issuesetc. Joining us to talk about speaking the truth in love to our LGBTQ neighbors, Pastor Tom Eckstein. He's pastor of Concordia Lutheran Church in Jamestown, North Dakota, author of the book Bearing Their Burden, and a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled, "And Such Were Some of You." Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, great to be here, Todd.
So talk about that temptation for Christians to remain silent, especially now when the world is virtually yelling at us that homosexual desire and behavior are really something we ought to be celebrating.
Well, the temptation for us to remain silent, not only have Christians been squeamish to talk about sex, period, which is unfortunate because the Bible addresses it. But now especially to address biblical sexuality in our culture, not only is our culture celebrating same-sex behavior, but it's also celebrating sinful heterosexual behavior. You know, whether that be fornication, sex between a single man and a single woman, or pornography, or even now among some, polygamy and polyamory. It's all part of our culture's exaltation of sex to almost an idolatrous level. And the temptation is to remain silent about it, because if we address our culture with the biblical view of sexuality, not only are we seem to be outdated prudes, but in some cases, in fact, more and more, we're labeled as bigots and haters for even suggesting that people need to recognize that their sinful sexual behavior is not God's will for their lives and that he calls us to repent. But the fact is, Todd, we need to speak God's truth and love in spite of the pushback we may get. Because not only do we need to speak God's law about how we are falling short of his will, that we might recognize our sin, but unless we address the sin in people's lives, including our sexual sin, we have no place to preach the gospel. And that's our ultimate goal. We want to let people know that whatever sin issues they may be struggling with, there is forgiveness and new life through faith in Jesus Christ. So the primary reason we want to speak to this issue and other issues as well is to give us opportunity to proclaim the gospel.
What is the world's version of love?
I sometimes talk with my confirmation students about what I call Perkins pie love. We used to have a Perkins restaurant in Jamestown, no longer, unfortunately, it closed, but I loved Perkins pie. But I explained to them, what do I mean when I say I love Perkins pie? It means that I desire it, I like the way it makes me feel, I like the way it tastes, I like what it does for me. But I think people would laugh if I said that what I mean by I love Perkins pie is that I'm willing to lay down my life for a piece of pie, that I'm willing to make a lifetime commitment to a piece of pie. You know, they'd laugh at me. But the trouble is, that's the biblical view of love. It's a promise that I will be there for you unconditionally. It's a commitment that I'm going to be a servant to you. I think of what Paul says in Ephesians 5, husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. But sadly, in many cases, the worldly view of love is that Perkins pie love. I'm going to love somebody because of what they do for me, how they make me feel. And sadly, that even is brought into our sexual relationships. Rather than sex being an expression of the promise of love, unconditional love in marriage between a man and a woman, in our culture, sex has become an expression of, hey, here's how you make me feel. It's almost an act of entertainment, an act of fulfilling your desires. And where it leads is that rather than leading us to actually love other people, it leads us to treat them as objects of our lust, which is the opposite of love.
Some Christians think that these desires themselves are not in fact sin, and that it only becomes sin if you act on those desires. How would you respond to that, Pastor Eckstein?
Yeah, we have to be careful with that one, because on the one hand, we want to make sure that we let people know that being tempted itself is not a sin. But of course, since we're all conceived with a sinful nature, we all have sinful propensities toward those temptations that are in themselves sin. And so I always make the distinction between having same-sex attraction versus affirming same-sex desires and acting on them. So obviously, if you're lusting after somebody of the same sex, if you're fantasizing about that, even if you don't act on it, that lustful desire is itself a sin. And so we have to recognize that sin is more than just what we do. It's all the sinful desires that we have in our hearts and minds. But at the same time, and we'll probably get into this, we want people to know that just because you believe in Jesus doesn't mean that your sinful desires go away. The good news is that in the midst of our struggle with our sinful desires, we have forgiveness and new life in Christ, who not only washes us clean from our guilt by his blood, but actually creates in us a new heart with good and godly desires. So forgiveness is not merely negative, taking away sin. Forgiveness is also positive. It creates in us a new heart whereby we now have good and godly desires.
What does the Apostle Paul say to the Corinthians about these kinds of sins?
Well, he makes it very clear, those who engage in these sins in unrepentant with an unrepentant attitude cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And we need to remember, it's not because these particular sins are somehow unforgivable. It's because as long as we're celebrating and affirming our sin, we're not only denying God's law, but we're actually pushing away the gospel whereby God would give us forgiveness for those sins. We can't receive forgiveness in faith for a sin that we're celebrating. So Paul is making it very clear that as long as we're affirming these sins, we cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But the good news, he goes on to say, but that is what some of you were. And again, by that, he doesn't mean, oh, now that you believe in Jesus, you no longer have these inclinations. What he does mean is, now that we have the Holy Spirit, we agree with God that these sins are wrong. We trust in God for forgiveness and for the strength to resist them, those sins, and live according to God's loving will for our life.
So go into a little more detail there. You said that when he says, and such were some of you, he's not saying that the Corinthians no longer had those sinful desires. Go into a little more detail.
Yeah, and this is especially important for those who struggle with same-sex attraction. Sadly, there are some sectors of Christianity, especially in the holiness churches, where they have told gay people, hey, if you just trust in Jesus and commit your life to him, you will become a heterosexual and your same-sex desires go away. Well, nowhere in Scripture does it ever teach that if you come to Jesus and trust in him, your sinful inclinations go away. In fact, if you read Romans 7, Paul teaches that once you come to faith in Christ, the struggle actually intensifies because now you're at battle with your sinful nature, whereas before in unbelief you were comfortable with it. And so there are many Christians who struggle with same-sex attraction that need to understand that coming to Jesus may mean that you will still continue to have same-sex attraction, but that doesn't change the fact that you're washed, that you're sanctified, that you're justified, that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. You may never become heterosexual, quote-unquote, but you are a new creation in Jesus, and that now becomes your new identity.
Pastor Tom Eckstein is our guest. We're talking about speaking the truth in love to our LGBTQ neighbors. When we come back, what was it that actually changed the Corinthians so that they could recognize the nature of their former sinful desires and actions, and so that Paul could say to them, such were some of you? Stay tuned.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
What are the particular comforts of Lutheran theology and practice? Find out in my column in the latest Issues Etc. Journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Peter Slayton writes about growing up in a Christianity that was more about him and what he was doing, and finding in the Lutheran Confession a Christianity that focused on Jesus. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm Chaplain Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Congregations work hard to keep the Word of Christ dwelling richly in His disciples now and into eternal life. We work to help and support that effort. Learn more at lcms.org/worship. You'll find resources on the church year, Bible studies on the hymns of the day, audio helps for learning to sing our services, and look for worship planning resources to find the latest from LCMS Worship. That's lcms.org/worship. May the Word of Christ dwell richly in you.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR21. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Have more opportunities for get-togethers around the table, coffee hours at churches. Focus more on the personal and less on, you know, letting tech oligarchs decide who we can speak to, what we can say, and what are really on what terms our relationships will be conducted.
Every day you've been given, you've got 1,440 minutes. Will you invest just 1% of that day in reading the Bible and in prayer? So 14 minutes.
And the reason why we are so earnest to contend for the doctrine, for the truth of the Lord's Word, is not because we have some obsession with being right, but because Jesus delivers forgiveness of sins and eternal life in the true Word.
When the law is fulfilled, our ability to see the face of God is made manifest because we are cleansed from sin, now fit to be inhabited by the Holy Spirit of God, who reveals the face of God in Jesus Christ.
Next hour, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, those four soundbites in their entirety. And after you've heard them, you can give us a call and vote for them, 1-877-623-MY-IE, or vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesETC. And our on-demand listeners will find those in their podcast feed. Pastor Tom Eckstein is our guest. We're talking about speaking the truth in love to our LGBTQ neighbors. We were discussing before the break the Corinthians and the change that had come over them since their former life. Tom, what was it that changed the Corinthians so that they could recognize the nature of their sinful desires and actions?
And I think it's important to stress here, Todd, that even though Paul used the law, the commandments of God and other teachings of Scripture to not only expose their sin, but show them the good way that God wanted them to live. It was finally the gospel, the good news of our forgiveness and salvation in Jesus that gave them a new hearts that wanted to obey God for the right reasons. We need to remember that what makes Christianity unique is not the law, because even non-Christian religions have that. For example, Islam agrees with us that same-sex behavior is wrong. What makes Christianity unique is the cross. I think of how earlier in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And so not only did Paul use God's law to show them, hey, the way you're living is outside of God's will and deserves his wrath, but he also gave them the gospel. The message of the cross is that God damned Jesus in your place. He put his wrath in his own son instead of you, and through faith in him, you are washed, sanctified, justified. Your guilt is taken away. You are declared righteous before God, your dearly loved child. And so it's this good news of salvation in Jesus that gives us new hearts that now desire to obey God, not on the basis of fear or on the basis of self-interest, you know, this is how I'm going to merit God's favor, but now through faith in Christ, our obedience flows from love. God's love for us in Christ and our love for him in Christ. We obey him because we believe his will for us is what is best, and we rejoice in living according to his gracious will for our lives.
What is Paul's message then to all of us in 1 Corinthians 6?
Well, his message to all of it, and I think it's important, even though we've been kind of focusing on same-sex lust and behavior here, when you read that section of 1 Corinthians that we've been talking about, Paul lists various sinful desires and behaviors, not just sexual sin, both heterosexual and homosexual, but drunkenness, greed, idolatry, and you have it. And so, really, Paul doesn't leave any of us unscathed. We're all guilty of thinking and desiring and saying and doing things that would place us outside of God's kingdom. But then the good news is that in Christ, that doesn't define our lives anymore. We are no longer, as Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2, we are no longer objects of God's wrath, but now we have been raised up with Christ. We're God's dearly loved children, and we are part of His kingdom through faith in His Son. So as believers, the message to us is that, hey, even though we've all done things that would place us outside the kingdom, in Jesus, the kingdom of God has come to us. We are forgiven. We are holy in God's sight. We are new creations, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5:17.
Is it possible, you mentioned before, sometimes recovery therapies have been oversimplified to the point where it's simply law and false promises are made about becoming a Christian and then suddenly you're not gay anymore. But is it possible for God's word to change a person's sexual attractions?
You know, and that's a big question that's up for debate now. And I think obviously it's possible. There are even studies that show, apart from what Scripture may say, that people are able to you know, on a spectrum, move back and forth between a heterosexual orientation and a homosexual orientation. There is evidence that our desires, our sexual orientations can change. And so obviously it's possible for God to take somebody who has same-sex attraction and then give them a new orientation. But the reality is the experience for many Christians who, for as long as they can remember, they had a same-sex orientation. The experience for many Christians is that coming to faith in Christ didn't change that. They continued, in spite of all their efforts to, quote-unquote, change, they still have same-sex attraction. And that's why it's so important for us to remind people that even though, you know, our desires may begin to change in some ways and even our behaviors, the fact is we're all going to have a sinful nature that is with us until the day we die. And so if we want to look for comfort and hope, it is not in our sanctification, which is always something that's going up and down and back and forth this side of heaven, but we look to the fact that in Jesus we've been justified, we've been declared righteous in Him, we are new creations in what Christ has done for us. That's our hope and comfort, even as we continue to struggle with the desires of our sinful nature this side of heaven.
One of the aspects of that struggle, I think, would be, and this is for both people who have homosexual desires and cannot say, I'm now a heterosexual. And a lot of people who are heterosexual in the church who never find a husband or a wife. And that is, they are called to celibacy.
Right.
Talk about that, if you would.
Yes. And here I think it's important for us to remember that in Scripture, it's interesting, I mentioned this in my article, that Scripture actually doesn't talk in the modern terms of homosexuality and heterosexuality. What it does talk about, on the one hand, is that God's will for our sexuality is either sex between a husband and a wife in monogamous marriage, or celibacy. And I think it's important to remember that the Bible is clear that celibacy is not like, okay, you're somehow living a less than fulfilled life if you're single. No, the Bible actually shows that being single and celibate can be a wonderful godly vocation. You can offer up your sexuality to God as a gift in the sense of, as a single person, I'm going to live out my single life and my celibacy to the glory of God and in service to others. And also, being single doesn't mean that you're doomed to being alone. The beautiful thing about being a Christian is that you're part of a family. And so those Christians who are single and celibate don't have to be alone. They have brothers and sisters in Christ who can love them and be there for them. And so I think it's important, you know, for those, whether you're heterosexual or homosexual or gay or straight, as our culture likes to say, just because you're single doesn't mean that somehow you're not complete. You may desire to have a companion. And one thing I have written elsewhere is, even if you do have same-sex attraction, that doesn't mean you can't ever enjoy God's gift of marriage. I have good friends who have same-sex desires, but they are married to a person of the opposite sex, and they've had children. So that is possible for people who have same-sex attraction. It's not as though their only option is being single and celibate. Heterosexual marriage is indeed possible for someone who has same-sex attraction. That's a gift of God for them as well.
What do we say to someone who wants us to affirm their sinful sexual desires and behaviors, be it homosexual or heterosexual?
And I'm glad you mentioned both homosexual or heterosexual, because we have as much problem with heterosexual sin in our culture as we do with same-sex behavior. But whatever the person's sin issue is, whether it's sinful sexual behavior or any other sin issue condemned by the Ten Commandments, you know, first of all, we let them know, hey, I'm a fellow sinner just like you. I was conceived with a sinful nature and with a multitude of sinful desires that I didn't choose to have. And so I need Jesus just as much as you do. But the reason I'm pointing out that you're outside of God's will here is not because I think I'm better than you, or not because I think you have to somehow be good enough to be worthy of God's mercy. I'm pointing this out so that you can recognize your sin and then in repentance find out that there is forgiveness and a new beginning in Jesus. And especially when it comes to our sexual God's will for our sexuality is so much better than the twisted, contorted version of sexuality that the world has to offer us. So we not only want to let people know that the reason we're confronting them about their sin is so that we can proclaim the gospel to them, but also we want them to know that God has a much better plan for their life than the sinful version of sexuality that the world has sold them.
Finally, what do we say to someone who continues to struggle in repentance with same-sex attraction?
Well, we say to them, hey, I'm in the same boat as you are. Just because you have this particular sin issue doesn't mean that you're somehow an odd person out. We're all broken sinners, beggars before the cross of Christ. And you need to know that you are God's dearly loved child, that you're precious to him, that you're holy in his sight. And you have to remember, not only does God forgive our many sins, but he does many good works in us and through us. As Jesus says, if you remain in me and I remain in you, you will bear much fruit. So to the person who continues to struggle with same-sex attraction, you know, rather than looking at their sin issues and constantly being depressed about that, remember what Paul says. You've been washed, you've been sanctified, you've been justified. God sees you as his dearly loved child, and he is doing many good things in your life, bearing much good fruit through you that is to his glory and a blessing to other people. And as believers, we can celebrate that.
Pastor Tom Eckstein is pastor of Concordia Lutheran Church in Jamestown, North Dakota. He's author of the book Bearing Their Burden and a column for the Lutheran Witness magazine titled And Such Were Some of You. Tom, thank you very much.
My privilege.
Find out more about the book Bearing Their Burden and the Lutheran Witness magazine on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. After the break, we're going to take up the subject of the Confession of St. Peter. The church observes this event on January the 18th. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will join us. Stay tuned. The name of the Lord in the life of the Christian, the church, and fulfilled in Jesus. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January is Blessed Be His Name, Revealing the Sacred Names of God. It's written by regular guest Dr. Kevin Golden. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House and request Blessed Be His Name, 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, Blessed Be His Name.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the Issues Etc. Journal logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org, and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org. Look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
You shall not commit adultery. What does this mean? We should fear and love God so that we lead a chaste and decent life in what we say and do, and husband and wife love and honor each other. Thus, Martin Luther explains, the sixth commandment, you shall not commit adultery. This month's issue of the Lutheran Witness takes up these topics and discusses homosexuality, transgenderism, and our own struggle to live a chaste and decent life. Pick up your copy today of the Lutheran Witness at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Trinity Lutheran Church in Vilonia, Indiana, is a mighty fortress that stands as a bulwark against the attacks of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. We are located in Jackson County, about 2 miles south of historic Fort Vilonia on State Road 135. Join us every Lord's Day for Sunday school and Bible class at 8:30 and divine service at 9:30. Come and receive the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation from God's Valiant One, Jesus Christ, who has conquered death and holds the field forever.